Hey, welcome to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast that's different than our sermon podcast. We are thinking about calling this Red Bluff Vineyard Raw, but we have not settled on a name. My name is Luke Garrity. I am your host, and I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, Dawn. Dawn, say hi.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dawn.
Yes, your name is Dawn, just like I said. That was awesome. We are here with two of Red Bluff Vineyard's leaders, team leaders, and we are blessed to have Riker and Alicia Adahai.
Woo! Got it, you pronounced it right.
I said your last name right.
Good job.
Thank you, I've been practicing a lot. I normally want to say Adahai or Adahai.
I like Adahai, that sounds cool.
No, Adahai sounds pretty
That's
cool.
That's what I say.
Adahai.
Yeah, Adahai. It's Adahai. You say it wrong though, and it's your last name, so that's why it's not cool. So okay. you have to. What did I think? Don probably called me Garati.
Karate.
Garati. Yeah, Karate Garati.
Oh my gosh.
I'm calling you that now.
You're welcome. You're welcome,
Mr.
world.
Karate.
Mr. Karate.
Yeah, exactly. Garati. That's what people have called us for a long time in my family. So, So anyway, we're in this podcast and we're going to be doing this on a hopeful weekly basis. And we're going to have this podcast as a separate podcast from our sermons. And it'll be like a reflection on the previous sermon. Or it might be a discussion on leadership or church things that are going on. We're going to hopefully have guests. So looking forward to it. So thanks, Riker and Alicia, for braving the COVID-19 public and coming to the office. That's why you kind of hear an echo. Hopefully we'll have that taken care of, you listeners. But we are social distancing in here. Mm-hmm. And Dawn keeps trying to hold my hand, but I won't let her. So anyway, we're going to talk about the church today. And yesterday's sermon that came out for Sunday, the 19th of April, was on the church. And we started a new sermon series called Echoes from the Kingdom. And we spelled echo with two Ks, E-C-C-O-E-S. And we did that because we're kind of doing a hat tip to the word ecclesiology, which comes from the Greek word ecclesia. And so we're talking about the church, and we spent some time talking about what the church is and what the church does and how it's important not to ever separate the identity of the church and the function/activities of the church. So I'd like to talk to the three of you about the church. And, you know, I was thinking about how when I think about church, I have a lot of really good memories and thoughts. I love the church and I have a high view of the church. But I also have these memories of the church not always being perfect, because no church is perfect. But I also have memories of the church being really far from perfect and having a lot of issues and challenges and frustrations. And that probably kept me from being a part of the church for, you know, a long time and, you know, whatnot. So yeah, tell me about your guys' frustrations. Let's start off on a negative. I don't know. I'm the kind of person I like to start out. I'm negative. Don says I'm negative.
The cup is half empty.
Or it's half always full. Half empty.
Yeah.
It's always half empty.
Full or
yeah.
However that saying is.
Not half full, it's half empty. Okay. You're half full, I'm half empty. Mm-hmm. So tell me, like, you know, what are some of the frustrations you all had when you think about the church?
One of my current frustrations, I think, I have different frustrations, like whatever age group I was, because I was raised in the church. And you see the good and the bad when your family is heavily involved in church leadership. Mm-hmm. So I'm also sensitive to that. But one thing that could be easily changed, I think, is here at the Vineyard, we say everyone gets to play and we can always find a spot for you. And with your giftings or your talents or your abilities, your that we can always find a spot for you. So we have a great team that helps run things here at the church, but it's still the same people that are doing everything in a lot of the teams. So I think that while we try to create an area to step into wherever you want to get involved in. A lot of people still don't get involved. So that's just a frustration for me that I think it helps you grow as a person. It helps you grow in your relationships. Whenever you are going through hard times, Luke and I have heard so many conversations where if they get involved in something, they create new friendships and there's trust there. And then you can grow from your different situations that happen in life too from it. Mm-hmm. Did you have something, Riker?
Oh, yeah, I'll share a little bit. I think one negative thing in my experience in the church is I always felt that some churches, they think that their way of doing church or doing the music or sermons or whatever they're doing, it's their only right way. There's only one right way to do stuff. And that was a little frustrating for me. Like how we manage conflict and, that was a little challenging for me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. For me, a negative thing, I grew up in a church that was a bit more uptight and considered more traditional than what the Vineyard is known for. And then one of the negative sides of that, at least in the churches that I grew up in and things like that, was the judgmental attitudes or heart postures that people would have. There was a lot of honor associated with having titles and like almost dishonor if people didn't get involved. Mm. And then there was judgment of different economic classes and things like that that created challenges.
Oh, wow. So you saw a lot of judgment against people who are not, quote-unquote, well-off financially? Or
mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's too bad.
Yeah, because we had ministries in the church that were meant to help people, but if you participated in those ministries, there would be a certain amount of judgment given by the people who were either providing and took pride in it or who just felt like they were better.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about how early on, one of the things that really impacted me positively was watching this small group that I was a part of. I think I was like 12, 13, maybe a little bit younger, but watching them like be a community, you know, of, I don't know, it was probably 12 to 18 people, but like they always were there for each other. And there was one woman in particular who was a single mom and they just loved on her and did everything for her that she needed, but never in a way that was like patronizing or made her feel like she was less than. It was just really cool to see that. And that was like a positive, you know, because I think like I've seen, you know, we've all probably seen those negative things where the church is judgmental or whatever. And I think that's probably why it's important to think about both what the church is and what the church does, like our identity of what we are. You know, the church is the community of God's kingdom or the people. But the church is supposed to be doing things too, right? We're not supposed to just sit around and have like Holy Spirit parties where we get the warm fuzzies, you know, and have butterfly experiences because the right guitar chord was played by Riker. It's more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's good, but we need to go beyond the church walls, you know, not just building walls, but beyond our own community walls too. Yeah, so that's kind of like you've seen those frustrations. Well, tell me about this. How did you get to the point where you have a more positive view? Because both of you are really engaged in the church. I mean, you both lead teams. You're both committed to serving. It seems like you love the church. Why do you love the church?
I feel like for me, it was more like a road to recovery and healing, and it was a slow process. At first, I started coming to the Vineyard, and I was still pretty like jaded and hard on the outside. And I didn't really trust. And even now, like, I still battle with, like, trusting. I've come a long way since, like, I've had the proper relationships modeled out to me and, like, healthy heart postures modeled for me. So I've finally started my, like, path to recovery. But I did a lot of watching at first. And it took me about a year of just watching before I actually stepped in for myself and said, like, okay, like, I'm ready to kind of take a bigger step and participate in what everyone else is doing. And it's still a growing process, so it's more like a slow, at least recovery for me, than it was like a transformation.
So for you, yeah. A big part of your, I guess, transition from being like jaded or a little hesitant to trust community was seeing followers of Jesus actually model what it looks like to follow Jesus.
Yes. That and it took having those healthy relationships around me as well. So I had to kind of cut out those unhealthy ones and be intentional about cutting them out to make space for healthier ones.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. How about you, Riker?
I think one of the transition points for me in viewing the church in a more positive light would be just doing life with people, like doing life together, sharing meals with people, like joining the core groups, like going over to Wesley and Irene's house and just chatting, having good food and just sharing life together. And just, because it's not just about like just the Sunday morning, you know, but it's about like the everyday, you know, part of following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me see the church in a whole new light. Like these are like real people and real relationships, and them pouring into me and just doing life, having their friendship.
And their food,
yes.
Yeah. Don, I always tease Don because she says that all the time. We're doing life together. And I'm always like, I don't know what that even means, because that phrase gets used all the time. But as you just said, there are things that actually what that does mean, you know, mm-hmm. right? Because remember how it was the catch thing to say for a while?
Do life together.
Yeah. Like, and it feels like it was a night, you know, like it was a
cliche,
like a 2005 thing, yeah. You know, like in our church experience, where around mm-hmm. that time, you know, a lot of people were talking about doing life together mm-hmm. and having life groups. Life groups are really big. And I got to the point where I was like, I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, when you say you do life together, I'm like, you want to know what I'm doing right now? I'm raising 5 kids. You want to come over and like help me?
Want to do our dishes?
Yeah, you want to do some dishes? You want to change some diapers? So it's interesting when you think about that. But mm-hmm. we talked about this Sunday. About there's a passage of scripture in Titus chapter 2 where Paul writes this text to Titus, who was, you know, like a apostolic emissary who was, you know, basically helping plant churches. And he says these words in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds." And that last phrase, totally committed, is I think a pretty pretty powerful phrase, but it's also like it's not an easy phrase, right? Because I was like, gosh, what does that mean?
Especially now.
Yeah, like
the
right now.
Pandemic, you know. Mm-hmm.
COVID-19, like what does it mean to be totally committed to good works? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's the challenge. You know, Riker and I were talking about the other day about how what does discipleship look like right now? Not just in COVID-19, but in the midst of, you know, living in the world right now in 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a technology dominated culture and society, and what does that look like? So I think that's kind of what I'm at a place now where I get the angst and the frustrations that people have about the church, and I share them, many of them. I feel like I go from being frustrated with the church to being inspired by the church, and it's all happening in the span of like 15 minutes, you know, these increments. But I also just really feel like it's even more important for us to be committed to the church than ever before. Mm-hmm. You know, to not just the local church, but the larger church too. You know, like the church is bigger than just the Red Bluff Vineyard. But it starts in the local church, right? Like, though I don't get the whole "I love Jesus, but I'm not going to commit to a church" thing. I don't think it's not biblical, and I don't think it's very helpful, too. So, like, like, let's talk about that, you know, I guess, because I think all of us agree with that. Why is it not helpful to be, like, let's think about why is it not helpful for ourselves to not be committed to a church, but why is it also not helpful to the world around us? Because we exist for the sake of the world. So, like, how would you answer those questions?
I'll go. So I think it's important for us to be a part of a church for our own accountability and relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, like, I wouldn't have had any growth if I didn't have someone else modeling it out for me. So even though I was reading the Bible or I have the head knowledge, because I listen to podcasts and stuff, so it's like I was working on my own spiritual life and, like, theology, but there's a difference between, like, reading something and getting the knowledge and, like, understanding it to the point where it's like I know how to live this out. Mm-hmm. So it took me having those deep relationships to kind of refine me, and then plus seeing other people's brokenness, it's like, hey, they're broken and they're leading, or they're doing a really good job, you know, and they're honest about their brokenness, so it's like, hey, like, I can be open about mine and grow through it and still be used by God. So I feel like the church was definitely a place that offers refinement and discipleship. Mm-hmm. And then also encouragement, too, because I know we all go through our seasons where it's like, oh, I'm close to God right now, but then sometimes you don't feel as close. And I need that accountability to continue in my relationship with God and to always be growing. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. That's good. How about you, Riker?
I think I'm getting to a point where I'm realizing more and more that I need people in my life. Like, I can't do it on my own. Like, Lisa and I just had a baby, and the church threw us a baby shower. You know, they provide diapers and wipes and all the other baby essentials, and, like, we couldn't do it by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And just that amount of generosity and, like, support is so incredibly helpful. And I think that, you know, not even just having a baby, but just through life, that we need each other. And I think the churches can be, how am I trying to say this? I guess the church can be a support for people when they need it the most and be a helping hand.
I like that, because it's like both those who are inside and also outside, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I've experienced generosity firsthand, so why not share that? You know, it's like overflow. Mm-hmm. Like, let me share that with other people.
Yeah,
you know,
I use that quote from Niles, where it's like, you know, Christianity is one beggar showing another beggar where the bread is. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, it's like we don't have the bread, but we know who does have the bread, mm-hmm. and so we're trying to help other people experience grace that we've also received. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. What do you think, Don?
I think just with my experience of being growing up in the church, and then in, like, mine and Luke's early 20s, being outside of the church just from past hurts or trying to figure out who you are, I think all of us have gone through a time in our life where we just try to figure out who we are as a person, as an individual, and then our relationship with God. And those are some really lonely times from my reflection and me thinking about it. And now getting older and raising our family, like Riker and Elisa were saying too, like, raising a family, you can't do it alone. And I feel like the church is one of my biggest supporters in raising a family. With Luke and I raising our family, and it's people that I can go to, even if they are broken, they still have some head knowledge or just prayer and support, or, you know, taking my kids one-on-one and talking to them, or it's them or me as an individual growing from talking with people that are in a church community. So it doesn't even have to be in your local church. It could be other surrounding local churches, too. I have a group of ladies that I pray for, or we pray for our kids at least twice a week, and we all go to different churches. So it can be that, too. Just that support system is really important. And that's the difference from when you're trying to do your relationship with God alone, or if you're in a community, it's a huge difference. So,
yeah, I think that part of, so there's all these like cultural challenges that we face. You know, I think we live in a culture that's really dominated by, you know, like consumerism, right? So it's all about what we can consume. And that's probably the natural progression for people when they come into the church community, the kingdom. They go from being consumers, and we all are. Like, I have never, ever attended a church where I wasn't thinking about how it would meet my needs. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily bad, right? Like, oh, well, they have a kids ministry that would meet my kids' needs. Well, they have, you know, a Bible study or whatever it is. But we kind of go from consuming, like just being simple consumers, to then wanting to contribute, right? Mm-hmm. So there's the consumerism, and then we also have like the convenience factor, right? Where we're not very good at making commitments unless it's convenient. And that's another challenge that we have to, I think, push back against. And that's one of the things that I think about COVID-19 is that this is going to either, I think culturally, this will either produce more consumerism because we've had, I don't know, what, 5 weeks of watching a video, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry, but watching a video is not the same thing as being the church.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good addition thing. It's an additional thing to do. It's good. It's a way to stay connected. It's a way to grow, but it's not the same thing. Like, smashing the like, we've been joking around about that. Like, you know, that's the equivalent of saying amen now, right? Like, amen. And then we go home and do the exact same thing, you know? Mm. So smash that like button.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Yeah.
You've done your part.
Yeah. Now live however you want. That's a problem, you know? Mm. And so I think that COVID-19 is going to potentially create more consumerism because it just is ingrained in us, like more of this culture of just watching and not participating. But I think the other side of the coin is that it's actually causing us to, many of us, and I think it's going to create more of this where there's more hunger for true, authentic community. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the positive. I think that's where the kingdom's at work, right? Because I did a funeral, almost a month ago now. And it was interesting to me how we did a graveside funeral. And after we were done, you know, normally people kind of go, they leave. Pretty quickly in my experience. Well, we stood out there for like another hour and a half, just people talking. Aww. Social distancing around a graveside, but everybody who, it was friends and family, but they just kept talking. And I think a lot of it was because people really valued community and they missed that. Mm-hmm. That's like the felt need right now that we have, you know? So I think there's a lot of neat things we can get the more that we wrestle with what the church is and what the church does, mm-hmm. which is why we're diving into that right now. But, well, do you, any of you have any final words? Words of wisdom, words of encouragement, words of hope, or words of, I don't know what else, what other words you'd have, but.
I think one thing that I remember from one of my theology classes is that the church belongs to Jesus.
Mm.
It's Jesus' church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not our dealio.
Yeah.
You know? And so, like, it's not our responsibility, you know, to, I guess, you know, like, grow the church. But it is, in a way. But it's not, like, our responsibility. Like, it's the church of Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, we partner with Jesus.
And we don't own it.
We don't own it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Alicia?
I don't think so.
This is when you just say, my baby's cute. That'd be my answer for everything.
Yeah.
Have you seen my baby? You can get away with anything now. It's like, oh. How about you, Dawn?
No, I just hope that this is an encouragement to any listeners out there. And if you aren't involved in a local church community, I want to encourage you to, you know, try to find a good fit for you and how you can serve that that local church, and just encourage you.
That's good. Well, okay, so we want to leave with a couple of thoughts. You can actually find us on all social media. You can just search for Red Bluff Vineyard on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter even, although we don't tweet a whole lot, but we do. And then also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you go to YouTube, you can watch the video of this previous Sunday, the service for that. Although I'm not really calling them service. I call it video. I refuse to call it service.
Isn't it recording?
Huh?
Isn't it a recording, not a video?
It's, I don't know. It's a video. it's a video, Don. I don't know what you're talking about. But a recording, a video recording on beta VHS DVD. And then, yeah, just to encourage you to keep, you know, keep following Jesus, keep reading the Bible, keep praying. And if you need anything, you can reach out to us at any point in time on any of the different media streams or channels that we have available. And we'll leave you with that. So thanks for listening. See you later.
Bye. Bye.